chains down. Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our land. It's part of the plan. Or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Hope you had a lovely last 4 days. I used to say weekend, and now there's 4 days in between our last broadcast and when we begin again on Monday. Today is January 10th. It is Monday, the 10th of January in the year 2005. I'm going to begin here with our spiritual message. We have a special guest with us this evening, and we'll bring our guest up. This is the prayer for the power of Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and renew me so that I can reach my fullest potential. Fill me to overflowing with your gifts, your power, your love. I open myself to receive all that the Father has for me. He is the creator of everything, and I am his child. Therefore, far more is available to me than ever I ever imagined. Help me to receive it all. Teach me how to use your gifts. Instruct me in all truth. Fill my mind with your thoughts and help me to recognize your voice. Make me an instrument of the Father's will. And Darren Weeks, thank you for being with us this evening, my dear.
It's my pleasure, Jackie.
Oh, boy, it's my pleasure. Mine more. You know how the children say, I love you more.
Yeah, mine do that too.
Well, folks, in case you may be a new listener, Darren is the masterful webmaster of the www.sweetliberty.org website and other websites as well. As I've told you, he also has his own broadcast. Are you going to do tonight at 11 p.m., Darren?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And if you're listening on the Internet, folks, you stay right where you are because you'll be able to hear Darren at 11 p.m. this evening. Of course, American Exposé follows Sweet Liberty. And I listened to him last week, and it was just, I hope that many of you did tune in, and I hope if you didn't, that you're not going to miss Darren's broadcast. He doesn't mess around, and he takes, he's doing one broadcast a week, and you can tell the time that he takes, the research and the time he takes to put it all together, and it flows beautifully. And tonight, folks, we're going to be talking. In fact, that's what I was listening to Darren last week talk about, was the tsunami and the weather control and the probability, almost for certain, that the recent disaster was man-made. Yes, Darren? Right? Did I lose Darren? Oh, jeez, I cannot believe this. All right. I don't know if Nicholas is there or not. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have to call back. I'm going to have to, maybe what Darren will do is maybe he'll call direct to the station. I don't know. I heard a click as I was talking. You know, this is getting to be a habit in the middle of conversations for just a disconnect to happen. I don't know if Nicholas is there tonight or not. Why don't we do this? If you would, hello?
Hey, Jackie, are you there?
Yes, Darren, where'd you go?
I got cut off.
Oh, you're so faint I can barely hear you.
Yeah, I got cut off. Hello?
All right, Darren?
Yeah.
Okay, did you call into WFAR?
Yes, because I got cut off.
Okay, that's fine, but is Nicholas there to adjust your volume?
I don't know.
Okay, well, you know what I'd like to do then? I would like to, it'll take us about 30 seconds to do this.
Nicholas,
but I would like both,
Jackie? Yeah, Nicholas says he is there.
Okay, well, good. I can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Barely.
Okay, I'm sending as much as I possibly can. I'm
all right, well,
right
Darren,
now.
This isn't working.
Okay.
And what I would like to do is maybe Nicholas will put some music on, and I would like to disconnect here, and then I would like you to call me back. Let us pass us in together. Thank you, Nicholas.
Okay.
Call back, Darren.
Okay.
The land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men.
Darren?
Yes.
Okay. We're back.
Okay. All right.
Now, I'm not hearing any music, and I dialed the same number, and I do hope that we are on air. Do you remember this when this happened to Alan and I? On the air. Ladies and gentlemen, sorry for the technical difficulties. So we're talking, where I lost you, Darren, is that I let our listeners know you're going to be talking about, we are going to, you have most of the research on this, the recent tsunami, and the evidence that keeps mounting that this was definitely man-made.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if I'd say if it's definitely, but in light of the overall agenda of the United Nations and the globalists to reduce the population, and then you couple that with the fact that there's the means by which they can accomplish this, I would say that the likelihood of it being a man-made situation is pretty great.
Right. I guess what I think what I said is that the evidence is mounting that it is definitely man-made.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes, go ahead, Darren.
Well, I guess the best place to start is to share with you an article which amounts to probably the greatest evidence that I've seen so far, and that is the fact that they have an experimental bomb. This was a piece that, doing some research, you know, we've chronicled on various broadcasts like this one, the effort, the plan, the agenda of the globalists to reduce the population, in order to get down to levels that they really want to have on this earth as far as the population, the number of people here.
Well, the slave plantation, you know, you have to get rid of useless eaters,
mm-hmm.
and you have to call them out. Because you certainly aren't going to keep slaves around, more slaves than you need, because
right.
that's very costly.
Exactly. And people are a lot easier to control if there's fewer of them to have the potential of rebelling.
Yes.
And so 9/10 of the world's population, it seems, is slated to be killed off. And this is something that everyone needs to take notice to, and you may call this conspiracy theory if you want to call it conspiracy theory, but folks, the bottom line is this is going to hit close to home. These environmentalists are already saying that there's going to be a lot more of these crises, and the secondary agenda, not only to kill off population, but there's a push to get the United States to sign on to the Kyoto Protocol, which would completely decimate what's left of the American economy. You know, already we're in trouble. We're in really bad shape right
yes,
now.
Yes, and we were talking about, was it yesterday, day before, whatever,
mm-hmm.
I told you about Professor Patrick Michaels from Virginia, and he had, speaking before an ALEC meeting, American Legislative Exchange Council. Mm-hmm. That would have been back in 93. And he did overheads. He had all of his ducks in a row. They had been before the U.S. Congress. And he said unequivocally, without a doubt, there is no global warming. It is a scam. He told the state legislators that if this should take place, if the U.S. signs on to it, that it will result in the greatest tax increase for every man, woman, and child in the history of this country. That's all. Like you said, it's going to destroy. And this came from Professor Pat Michaels. There was actually a draft resolution that he was almost begging. There were 500 state legislators there to take back, to get introduced, and I don't think it ever saw the light of day, Darren.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no question about it. The Kyoto Protocol, I was reading from, you'll recall I was reading from testimony from Senator James Inhofe, who he testified on the floor of the U.S. Senate about what the Kyoto Protocol would do to the U.S. economy, and he said in order for the U.S. to even be in compliance, all of the emissions, basically the entire emissions from the transportation sector or from industry would have to be completely eliminated in order for the U.S. to lower so-called greenhouse gas emission levels down to the standards of Kyoto.
And it would only be the U.S. and other, quote, developed nations that would have to do it.
That's right. The developing countries are not required to meet the same stringent standards.
That's right.
So the bottom line is, what the Kyoto, and he went on to say that the benefits, quote, unquote, to the environment are not even measurable. And this is somebody who chairs an environmental and public works subcommittee. So he ought to know. He studied the issue for a long period of time. So he deals with these issues, and he's saying that Kyoto, the design of Kyoto, the whole purpose of Kyoto, is to plunge the United States into bankruptcy.
You mean further into bankruptcy?
Exactly. Well, yeah, we already have $7.5 trillion national debt.
That's
right.
That's why Congressman Jim Trafficant is in prison, because he made it very clear and public that the U.S. government Inc. is bankrupt.
Mm-hmm. So it's important for people to understand this is a war upon you. And back in 1944, as reported in, and I found this on the state of Nevada's website, they have a nuclear waste website, and there's literally a sea of blue links on this. There's a lot of good information. In fact, I encourage the listeners to go there and check out this stuff, because I'll give the address here. It's www.state.nv for Nevada, state.nv.us/NUC waste. And it's a nuclear waste website, and they have a lot of good documentation of various news stories. But this is one of the news stories that was published, I guess, originally in The Independent out of Britain, and the headline was, "Experimental bomb to create huge tidal wave was tested in 1944.
What was the date of this article, Darren?
I don't know what the date of the Independent one was, but this was also ran in the New Zealand Herald, and as near as I can tell, the date for the New Zealand article, and I think this was the original article, by the way, was June 30th of 2000.
Wow.
So
are you going to get that in our weather?
Yes. In fact, I've already started working on the weather modification section.
Good.
So at any rate, it says, and under the New Zealand Herald, the headline is "Tsunami Bomb, NZ's Devastating War Secret." And by the way, it was also published in the Taipei Times. And I thought I had that right. Here it is. And the headline of the Taipei Times. It was the same article. They just have different headlines.
Right.
But it's important to note that there's three different publications that we have on this from mainstream media sources around the world. And I think that's important. You can't have a story that's more documented than this one. The headline of the Taipei Times was, Fuhrer over title bomb claims. New Zealand, : classified files released this week show that a leading professor in World War II was developing a weapon almost as destructive as the atomic bomb.
Hmm.
Now, I'll read you the piece, and as you listen to this, I encourage everyone to just keep an open mind, because the first thing that comes to someone's mind when you say something like this is, oh, you're crazy, you're nuts to believe something like this. Why would they do that, and how could they ever possibly do that? And already there's different publications around the world, and maybe we'll get into some of that tonight, where they're calling people like us who ask questions conspiracy theorists. And that's always the tool that they use to discredit us. But this piece says, top secret wartime experiments were conducted off the coast of Auckland to perfect a tidal wave bomb, declassified files reveal. An Auckland University professor, seconded to the Army, set off a series of underwater explosions triggering many tidal waves at Wangaparaoa in 1944 and 1945. I'll just interject here real quick that they were testing this thing in the mid-1940s. They've had over a half a century to perfect the technology.
That's right, that's right.
Continuing here, they say Professor Thomas Leach's work was considered so significant that the United States defense chiefs said that if the project had been completed before the end of the war, it could have played a role as effective as that of the atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Details of the tsunami bomb, known as Project Seal.
Tsunami bomb.
That's right.
Okay, start again with that sentence.
Details of the tsunami bomb, known as Project Seal, are contained in 53-year-old documents released by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Papers stamped top secret show the U.S. and British military were eager for SEAL to be developed in the post-war year, too. They even considered sending Professor Leach to Bikini Atoll to view the U.S. nuclear tests and see if they had any application to his work. He did not make the visit, although a member of the U.S. Board of Assessors of Atomic Tests, Dr. Carl Compton, was sent to New Zealand. Now, this is a quote. Actually, this is a quote from a July 1946 letter from Washington to Wellington. It says, quote, Dr. Compton is impressed with Professor Leach's deductions on the SEAL project and is prepared to recommend to the Joint Chiefs of Staff that all technical data from the test relevant to the SEAL project should be made available to the New Zealand government for further study by Professor Leach. End quote. Professor Leach, who died in his native Australia in 1973, was the university's Dean of Engineering from 1940 to 1950. News of his being awarded a CBE in 1947 for research on a weapon led to speculations in newspapers around the world about what was being developed. Though high-ranking New Zealand and U.S. officers spoke out in support of the research, no details of it were released because the work was ongoing. A former colleague of Professor Leach, Neil Curtin, told the Weekend Herald that the experiments involved laying a pattern of explosives underwater to create a tsunami. Small-scale explosions were carried out in the Pacific and off Wangaparaoa, which at the time was controlled by the Army. It is unclear what happened to Project SEAL once the final report was forwarded to Wellington Defense Headquarters late in the 1940s. The bomb was never tested on a full scale, and Mr. Curtin doubts that Aucklanders would have noticed the trials. He said, quote, whether it could ever be resurrected under some circumstances, I think it could be devastating,
yeah.
End quote.
Yeah.
So that's the article. And the question that I ask is, why is this piece dated 2000? Why don't we have a piece more recent, dated 2005, that is in the mainstream media telling about this?
Oh, Aaron. You're asking why?
It's more of a rhetorical question.
Yeah. Because you know why.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is why alternative media is important, is, you know, networks like First Amendment Radio and stations like WWCR, you know, I mean... that's the only way that we can get the message out. That's the only
right.
way the truth is going to get out. And while I'm at it, let me just say, folks, please support this broadcast because it's so vital that we keep Jackie on the air.
Sweet Liberty.
Sweet Liberty. It's very important to keep this program on the air. And I strongly urge you, you know, if you get something out of it, please put something back because if everyone thinks that everyone else is going to do it, the job isn't going to get done.
Yeah.
And it's so important.
Thank you, dear. Yes, thank you.
I don't know if...
The address will be given. Folks, do have your pen and paper handy, if you would, because at the half hour, we'll take a one-minute break, and you can get the address. Darren, I have a... I don't know if you've seen this. You might have seen it. It's
mm-hmm.
from an Australian Air Force website, and it is the final report for 2025. And in Chapter 2, this is the Australian military, but they keep talking about the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
what the U.S. is going to do and how they're going to do it. Weather as a force multiplier.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that?
I've seen the Air Force report, weather as a force multiplier.
Yes, well, that's, I went right to, I had it emailed to me, actually, June of last year, and just had it in my weather file.
Mm-hmm.
And I went right to the Air Force website is still up, and I pulled this up right from it.
Yeah, they say owning the weather in 2025.
Yes, uh-huh. And one of the one article that you read, there's a sentence here, in 1957, the President's Advisory Committee on Weather Control explicitly recognized the military potential of weather modification, warning in their report that it could become a more important weapon than the atom bomb.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they say that. They make the atom a bomb analogy, huh?
Yeah. It's right, second paragraph in this chapter two. We need to get this up, too. There's an item that was written by Dick Eastman. Do you ever get any of his stuff?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, he's always right on target. And his is titled Tsunami Producing Earthquakes was generated intentionally with this technology. Were you the one that said, or did I read it somewhere else, that the U.S., or did I hear it on your broadcast, that the U.S. is now preparing to have tsunami reports alert here in the state.
Yeah, that was a WorldNet Daily piece. Now,
yeah.
I want to make the caveat here that we don't necessarily support what WorldNet Daily is, their agenda. We believe that there are some serious questions as to what their real intentions are, but they do put out a lot of stuff that, you know, is certainly relevant and important. And the headline of that piece was U.S. East Coast to get tsunami monitors. Congressman pushes for warning system similar to one in Hawaii. I guess from what I've heard, there's already tsunami monitors. Well, it might even say that in this report on the West Coast, and they have part of what they need. I guess they have the infrastructure in place to do this.
It's all there. I read an article earlier this evening, and it would have taken too much time to format it, to print it out.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, there were all kinds of warnings. And Hawaii was one of them, and contacted the State Department. And then the State Department claims that they contacted India,
mm-hmm.
and India claims that they never received any such warning.
Well, from The Guardian, I got a piece right here. It says, U.S. island base given warning. Bulletin sent to Diego Garcia, quote, could have saved lives. It says a British-owned American base on an island in the Indian Ocean received prior warning of the tsunami from the U.S. The Guardian has established. Unlike countries devastated by the huge wave, the military base on Diego Garcia was alerted by America's Tsunami Warning Center on Hawaii in the Pacific. The base, officially called the British Indian Ocean Territory, and described by the American military as the, quote, best-kept secret in the Navy, was worn because it is linked to the U.S. Pacific Command, according to American officials. The article continues here, but it sounds a lot like September 11th, which was another created scenario.
In other words, what they're saying is that there was foreknowledge,
right,
but they're not saying that it was man-made.
No, but I'll tell you who was saying it's man-made, and that's an Egyptian paper. There's a Jerusalem Post article. It says Egyptian paper, India nuke test caused tsunami. They're saying joint nuclear testing by Israel and India caused the tsunami. Now, they don't go into
testing
the tsunami bomb situation.
Okay, they're talking about testing of bombs, right?
Yeah, but the point is, this is an article where they're saying that governments did it. They say the earthquake that struck the Indian Ocean on December 26, triggering a series of huge waves called tsunami, quote, was possibly, unquote, caused by an Indian nuclear experiment in which Israeli and American nuclear experts participated, an Egyptian weekly magazine reported Thursday. According to Al Asboa, India, in its heated nuclear race with Pakistan, has lately received sophisticated nuclear know-how from the United States and Israel, both of which, now listen to this, they say that they received this sophisticated nuclear know-how from the United States and Israel, both of which, quote, showed readiness to cooperate with India in experiments to exterminate humankind.
That
is a direct quote from Jerusalem Post as they quoted this Egyptian magazine.
Oh, my.
Now, does
Darren,
this sound like
would you be,
theory?
Yeah, would you be willing to read those last few sentences again?
Sure.
Folks, listen to this again, please.
Again, this comes from, and this article is dated January 6, 2005. This comes from the Jerusalem Post. It says, according to Al Asboa, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that name correctly, that's what it looks like. According to Al Asboa, India, in its heated nuclear race with Pakistan, has lately received sophisticated nuclear know-how from the United States and Israel, both of which, quote, showed readiness to cooperate with India in experiments to exterminate humankind.
Wow. Yeah, we're conspiracy theorists.
Well, if we're conspiracy theorists, we're certainly not alone, are we?
Yep. Wow. To exterminate humankind.
And that's why the mental health screening situation is so important, because those of us who know the truth, those of us who know what's going on and start revealing it, we have to be curtailed.
Yeah. Yes. And, folks, Darren and I spoke, I guess it was this past weekend, and there's going to be a couple or three new sections coming up on sweetliberty.org. One of them will be on the weather modification, and we'll be featuring in there the evidence that comes up that the earthquakes, that the hurricanes that can be steered, these storms can be steered, and also just on basic weather modification. Also, we are going to have a mental health section, and that one that I read to you, the deneuralization of the Americans or the world, will be posted. It'll be one of the first that we'll be posting there, and along with one on the Holocaust. Did 6 million really die? Not. We're going to be back right after this. Please have your pen in your hand and get my address if you would like to help support this podcast. We'll be right back.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70. You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
Thank you for your continued support, folks. I received the most recent billing for the airtime, WWCR only, not WFAR. And with what I have to mail them right now, we will be at $7,000 in arrears. When we did the pledge night that night, and I said we were, I think I said it was 9,000. I did that sometime in November, I believe, and that didn't even include the month of November. So at that time, it goes up fast, believe me, to the tune of about $2,500 a month. So we were closer to $12,000 in arrears. And 3,000 will be going into them, which will bring us down current to $7,000. So you've taken a great, huge chunk out of it, ladies and gentlemen. All of you, each of you who are participating in this broadcast, actually, it's the only reason it's on the air, because I certainly would not be able to afford it. And while I'm at this, I want to remind you, we have reduced our broadcast week from 4 to 3 days a week, although Sweet Liberty is still airing 4 days a week. Jeffrey Bennett is standing in as guest host on Thursday nights, and he's delightful to listen to. He's filled with information, and he just has a way of, I guess everybody has their own style, and his is quite, it's entertaining. And I know that you don't listen to this broadcast for sure for entertainment, but he isn't just entertaining. He is imparting critical information at the same time. So do be sure to tune in on Thursday nights. Listen to Jeffrey Bennett. And Jeffrey at this point in time is actually picking up the tab for Thursday nights, which is taking a big chunk out of it. Darren?
Yeah.
I have a there's about three paragraphs in a report here that I would like to share right along with what you've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This is titled Human Engineered Earthquakes, written by somebody named Ray Bilger. He's discussing a few paragraphs on the first page and down that evidently this was a series, and I've only got just this one section of it. But he says, as you will recall, in part 5 of the series, we mentioned Nikola Tesla's controlled earthquakes of 1935, labeled by Tesla as the, quote, art of telegeodynamics. Tesla was able to cause, quote, rhythmical vibrations to pass through the earth with almost no loss of energy, and he could convey these mechanical effects to the greatest terrestrial distances and produce all kinds of unique effects. And then the author said that they have little information on the developments over the 40 years following 35. Yet something must have happened because, listen to this, a Senate subcommittee hearing, this would be the U.S. Senate, chaired by Senator Claiborne Pell, this was in 1975, stated, "We need a treaty now, before the military leaders of the world start directing storms, manipulating climates, and inducing earthquakes against their enemies." Well, their enemies, we are the enemy, folks.
That's right.
We have met their enemy, and he is us. Senator Pell would not have spoken these words in 75 about inducing earthquakes unless he had some knowledge that some technology existed. And then he goes on to talk about the 1976, right, the year later, that the General Assembly of the UN approved their ENMAD treaty, the Convention of the Prohibition of Military or any other hostile use of environmental modification techniques. I've read a little overview of that to our listeners. Now listen to this. This is what this is leading up to. In June 1977, so first we had Claiborne Pell in 75 making that comment, in 76 the ENMAD treaty. The June 5th, 1977 New York Times described the greatest earthquake which destroyed Tangshan, China on July 28th, oh, the great earthquake, excuse me, 1976, and killed over 650,000 people. And listen to the description of this. It says, just before the first tremor at 3:42 a.m., the sky lit up like daylight. Before an earthquake, the sky lit up like daylight. The multi-hued lights, mainly white and red, were seen up to 200 miles away. Leaves on many trees were burned to a crisp, and growing vegetables were scorched on one side as if by a fireball. Some investigators believe that these electrical effects were associated with electromagnetic plasma and ball lightning, and the strange array of flashes which result from Tesla-style technology, and for harp-like transmissions. Was this brilliant flash of colored light what Tesla was talking about in 35 when he mentioned all kinds of unique effects? Was this earthquake just a test of the system conducted on the unsuspecting people of China? Certainly doesn't appear that it was a natural earthquake. And, you know, I was speaking with Will Roberts. He said there was a terrible earthquake in the 70s in, it was a tsunami that destroyed, and I'm so sorry that I don't recall exactly where it was. I don't remember reading about this, but he said, look it up and you'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
So all these little experiments going on in the 70s, and as you said, Darren, look how far they must have come since then.
Oh, absolutely. The article makes it sound like they just quit after the war ended.
Yeah, right.
But as I keep saying, and I feel like sometimes I sound like a broken record, but they wouldn't develop these weapons if they didn't plan to someday use them. And what better way of fulfilling their environmental agenda of bankrupting the country by requiring or pushing for us to get into the Kyoto Protocol or some other restrictive, and even if it's not the Kyoto Protocol, I understand, according to Senator James Inhofe's testimony, his speech, that they've tried to piecemeal this thing through the United States Congress and get what would essentially be legislation passed that would adopt Kyoto without signing on to the treaty. So there's a lot of...
Oh, yeah, they do things like that, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Well,
the treaty doesn't mean anything anyway. I mean, I know it does to them.
Right.
And to many people, I would say the majority of Americans are under the impression that a treaty supersedes the Constitution. And I will tell you, one dame of Malta that was on the radio time after time after time a few years back, and what she was doing was complaining that the framers of our Constitution wrote Article 6 wrong, because every time every time we enter into a treaty, we give up more of our national sovereignty. And folks, that isn't true. You cannot sign, well, of course, these treaties are between nations, but these are UN treaties. The United Nations is not a treaty. When the UN signed on, when the U.S. signed on to the United Nations, they signed on as a charter member, because there is no treaty with a intergovernmental or non-governmental organization. So it's all color of law, and they get away with it because they got the money.
And the American people are asleep.
That's right. Well, they've been put to sleep, Darren.
Yeah.
They've been put to sleep. I used to send money to people like Phyllis Schlafly. Lots of money. Before I finally wisened up. Because they're slick. And they put out so much information that people believe anything they say. And folks, this is where discernment comes in. It is where discernment comes in. And you actually can filter through the wheat from the chaff. Even from the controlled opposition, they have to give you a lot of truth or you wouldn't bite on their poison. Go ahead, Jaron.
Absolutely. Well, there's no shortage of phonies out there that are trying to do the wrong thing, and we don't know how many of these people are deceived themselves, and that's the problem. In this freedom movement, you don't know who you can trust and who you can't trust. But one thing, it's like the Bible says, you'll know them by their fruits.
Yes.
And you do, like Jackie says, you do have to have discernment, and it's not always easy to tell. But once you deal with the documentation and you start to learn and do your own research, then it becomes apparent who the phonies are and who the phonies are not.
Right. We have a call coming in, Darren. Hi, you're on the air.
Good evening, Jackie. This is Will from Missouri.
Hello, Will.
Got a little bit of information for you on the other earthquake that we talked about previously.
Oh, good. Alaska?
Yes.
Great. I thought you might call in. Thanks, Will.
Well, I found the booklet today that I still have from all those years back, but it was the Alaska's Good Friday earthquake, and it occurred on March the 27th of 1964. And it is, you can obtain a periodical. It's a geological survey circular put out by the U.S. Department of the Interior, and it's circular number 491 that talks all about it. But on that particular day, there was at 5:36 p.m. on Good Friday, March the 27th, the magnitude Richter of that earthquake was 8.4 to 8.6. And it absolutely decimated southeastern Alaska, and the tremors were felt well through out the interior past Fairbanks.
Thank you, Will.
You're quite welcome.
Thank
Jackie.
You very much, honey. Good night. There we are, Darren.
Yeah, well, how do we get to the bottom of whether or not that's natural or man-made?
Well, there is no, as a matter of fact, when we were talking about, I told him, you were going to be coming on. Well, he said that he thought the tsunami that it just occurred was natural. And I said, oh, come on. I said, well, you better tune in Monday. He listens regularly anyway and supports the broadcast generously. But I said, wait until you tune in Monday, and I think you will see differently that at least we know the possibility is there. And why would we think that they because we know the technology is there. To me, I just don't have any doubt. As far as the one in Alaska, I don't know, but that was in the 60s. Maybe that was one of their first wonderful experiments. If the Tesla technology was known back in 35, how do we know, Darren?
How do we know, indeed?
It's just,
that's,
go
that's
ahead.
The problem is there's so many, there's so many of these things. We have this manipulation going on all around us, and what's the purpose of it? But to implement a one-world government in the UN system. I know there's the World Heritage Treaty, December 17, 1975, Article 11, Section 4 says, the committee shall establish, keep up to date, and publish whenever circumstances shall so require, under the title of List of World Heritage in Danger, a list of the property appearing in the World Heritage for the conservation. And you got to ask the question when you see conservation, for whom are they conserving it if you folks are not going to be allowed to use the land?
That's right.
But they say, for the conservation of which major operations are necessary and for which assistance has been requested under this convention. This list shall contain an estimate of the cost of such operations. The list may include only such property forming part of the cultural and natural heritage as is threatened by serious and specific dangers, such as, now they're going to tell you what the dangers are. Dangers such as the threat of disappearance caused by accelerated deterioration, large-scale public or private projects, or rapid urban or tourist development projects, urban sprawl, destruction caused by changes in the use or ownership of the land, that could be anything, major alterations due to unknown causes, abandonment or any reason for any reason whatsoever, the outbreak or the threat of an armed conflict, calamities and cataclysms, serious fires, earthquakes. How many fires have we had
in
the last few years? Earthquakes, landslides, volcanic eruptions, changes in water level. You know, they're saying now there's a shortage of water, which is a load of, well, I guess you can guess what.
Yes.
You know, how can there be a shortage of water when the air that we breathe is filled with water? You know, there's water all around us. Yet they're saying there's a shortage of water. Changes in water level, floods, and tidal waves. The committee may at any time, in case of urgent need, make a new entry in the list of World Heritage in Danger and publicize such entry immediately. So my question is, how many of these places in these Asian countries are going to be declared World Heritage sites?
Yes.
I heard on National Public Radio, and I mentioned this on the broadcast last week, that some of these people in these places are not going to be allowed to rebuild.
That's right.
So what's the reason that they wouldn't be allowed to rebuild? Unless this is land that these people have to be relocated to sustainable communities in order to fulfill the agenda of sustainable development, which comes from the UN.
It's under one little, the current one is Agenda 21. That is current, but this plan, of course, has been
under... on a long time. Yeah. And Agenda 21, in case you're not familiar, folks, it's short for the Agenda for the 21st Century, and this is the United Nations blueprint for what they call sustainable development. And the way they define sustainable development is this generation's ability to meet their needs without compromising the next generation's ability to meet their needs, okay? And it's based upon needs. Now, what you decide your needs might be is not necessarily what they're going to decide your needs are going to be. And this is a Marxist socialist system, and because what did Marx say?
No, yes, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but... You know, when we say, okay, this is a Marxist socialist system, what it gives the impression is that this was Marx's idea. Marx was funded, and it was not his idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, but to label it that, I mean, people are able to relate, but it wasn't Marx's idea.
Right. But he said, from each according to his ability... To each according to his needs.
That's right.
And we're seeing seeing funds being taken out. These people, they talk about there being waste. I read an article. In fact, we have it posted on one of the websites. Over half of U.S. food goes to waste. And there's this war on obesity that we have now. They're saying that that Americans waste over half the food that they have, and that this is an unsustainable pattern. And there's a whole chapter in Agenda 21 given to changing consumption patterns, and that's what this fits into.
This boils all down to total quality management. You know, total quality management right now is referenced as relates to corporations, downsizing, et cetera, et cetera. But about, oh my goodness, probably 7 years ago, Anita Hoag did a broadcast with us,
mm-hmm.
and she pointed out, Darren, that total quality management means this. They will know the size and weight and age of everybody in every household, and they will figure out how many calories it will take to sustain sustainable development, to
mm-hmm.
sustain the life of those slaves, if you would.
Right.
And total quality management means they will measure every calorie that goes in versus every calorie of output, which is our energy. And if you are not putting out energy that is tied into the tax base, you are a useless eater.
That's right.
And when you look at the presidents, that's, by the way, folks, in the sweetliberty.org website under the children's section, Bill Clinton signed an executive order creating a commission to study capital and report on the use of capital. And in the definition of capital was human capital. And it also was to report on the government's or other entities' use of capital and the depreciation of capital. This might sound like a daydream, or it might not really hit you, because I don't know if it really has really hit me yet, like some things have, that they mean this. They absolutely mean this. I'll tell you one thing that hit me, Darren,
mm-hmm.
and it hit me so hard, it caused the quivering in my stomach when I was in one of the sections of the book, Jewish Persecution, when I realized that we are under Talmudic law today. I mean, I really got it, and I said it several times on the air, and then Mel Payne and I were talking after a broadcast one night, and he said, I just got it. Actually, we are under Talmudic law. I said, that's what I've been saying, Mel. But there is something at a time when it suddenly hits, and it hits, you get it. You just get it.
Mm-hmm.
They intend, ladies and gentlemen, to control every function. And you know what? Alan was telling me this, the Talmudic laws, that control, that would and are laid out to control every faction, every, what you will wear, what you will eat, to the most personal items that a woman would use is all laid out. They are out of this world crazy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. And I always say the best way to eliminate excess is to eliminate, or the best way to eliminate waste is to eliminate excess. And, you know, because they're saying...
Oh, excess of food.
Excess of food.
Oh,
yeah. Because they're saying
yeah.
that we have too much food. They're saying that all this food is going into the landfills, and that's not sustainable. So, and Catherine Bertini, I quote her a lot, but she said food is power.
Yes, she's quoted in the book, by the way.
Food is power. We use it to control behavior. Some may call it bribery. We do not apologize.
Yes. And she was also a Rockefeller employee at one time.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to go ahead. I'm going to grab something real quickly. I have to go to a shelf.
Okay.
Okay.
I want to share with you folks out there. There was an April 28, 1997 interview. Actually, it was a defense briefing with Secretary of Defense William S. Cohen, again, 1997, so that would have been the Clinton administration, former Defense Secretary William Cohen. A reporter asked him a question about there being a mole in Washington, but he answers the question. Now, I want to pick up with the part of his answer that I feel is relevant here, because he makes reference to creating, to certain quote-unquote terrorists, creating various aspects to unleash upon the world of terrorism, various aspects of terrorism to unleash upon the world. He says there are some reports, for example, let me back up here. He says the same thing is true about just the false scare of a threat of using some kind of chemical weapon or a biological one. There are some reports, for example, that some countries have been trying to construct something like an Ebola virus, and that would be a very dangerous phenomenon, to say the least. Alvin Toffler has written about this in terms of some scientists in their laboratories trying to devise certain types of pathogens that would be ethnic specific so that they could just eliminate certain ethnic groups and races. And others are designing some sort of engineering, some sort of insects that can destroy specific crops. He says others are engaging even in an eco-type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes, remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves.
Wow.
He continues, so there are plenty of ingenious minds out there that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations. William Cohen speaking, he says, it's real. And that's the reason why we have to intensify our efforts, and that's why this is so important.
Wow.
So the question is, who are the terrorists
of which
he spoke?
Those of us
who have done the documentation, those of us who have done the research on September 11th, and we know that the terrorists are the handlers, the shadow government, which operates behind the scenes and controls our governmental leaders. And the question has to be asked anytime you see a natural disaster, and then they're clamoring and blaming it on greenhouse gas emissions.
Yes.
You gotta ask the question: is this a man-made crisis? And by man-made, we mean by them, not by you, because you drive your automobile too much.
Listen to this, honey. We've got just a couple minutes left. This is in the UN Human Development Report, 1994, on page 17. I was mentioning human capital. Bestowing value on a human life only to the extent that it produces profits, the human capital approach has obvious dangers. In its extreme forms, it can easily lead to slave labor camps, forced child labor, and the exploitation of workers by management, as during the Industrial Revolution. Now listen to this. The lifestyles of the rich nations will clearly have to change. The North has roughly one-fifth of the world's population and four-fifths of its income. If the ecosphere were fully priced, not free, such consumption patterns could not continue. The lifestyles of the rich nations will clearly have to change. Darren, thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much, honey.
And folks, remember, Darren is on at 11 tonight. If you're on the Internet, we'll be back tomorrow night with Alan Watt. And thank you for tuning in. But get your pen in hand if you didn't get my address. God bless you. Tune in tomorrow night. Thank you.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support, and stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.